The next talk is the, will be the winner of the research, I mean, excuse me, the Research Travel Award, Resident Research Travel Award, intracochlear electrocochleography in cochlear implant patients by Nathan Calloway. Nathan?
Thank you. I'm Nathan Calloway. I'd like to thank the AOS for the opportunity to go over this research today. And I'd also like to thank our fellow authors without whom this research would not have been possible. These are our disclosures, our objectives, build on some foundations that we had established previously in cochlear implant research, where we had demonstrated potentials being able to be recorded from all patients undergoing a cochlear implant. We've also used this as a tool to assess cochlear physiology and shown that it has correlated with adult speech outcomes. So building upon this, we wanted to take our intraoperative round window electrocochleography and use it to further be used as a tool in an intracochlear location. And our two objectives were to compare the intracochlear location with the extracochlear location for intraoperative electrocochleography, and then use this to monitor the cochlear health during our electrode insertion. We used both pediatric and adult patients undergoing a cochlear implantation at UNC hospitals. And as I stated before, our main measurements were an intracochlear and a extracochlear round window electrocochleography during implantation. Our methods, we used a transmastoid facial recess approach and used responses to tone bursts of frequencies, and then a level series at 500 hertz or a best frequency if it was noted intraoperatively. The extracochlear recordings were again taken at the round window, and the intracochlear recordings were at one of two sites, either just inside the round window with a rigid electrode or with a flexible electrode inserted up to 20 millimeters into the scale of tympani. In total, we did 26 patients from whom intracochlear and extracochlear recordings were made. Eight patients also underwent the flexible electrode recording. Most of our patients were implanted for idiopathic hearing loss. We also had a few patients with auditory neuropathy, Bohr's and Meniere's. We took a wide range of patients from 18 months to 71 years old, with our mean age being 24 years old. So these are our results. The two graphs on the left are from an individual patient. The top graph, x-axis is time, y-axis is the response in microvolts. And what you're seeing there is the cochlear microphonic in a waveform. The dark line is your extracochlear, that's the round window location recording. And you can see just from eyeballing this that the lighter line is the intracochlear location just inside the round window, which you can see from just from the waveform appears larger. When we take a time window and perform a Fourier transformation, we can actually measure the magnitude of difference, and that's the bottom graph there, the frequency at 500 hertz, the x-axis, and the response on the y-axis. And for this particular patient, the response of the intracochlear recording was 3.2 times greater than the extracochlear round window location. For all of our patients and for the series, the results are there on the right. The top graph being the extracochlear round window location, where the mean magnitude response was 12.6, and the intracochlear is just below that with a mean response of 19.8. This was in decibels. This is significant at the 95% confidence level. Another way of looking at this information is the graph on the bottom right of the screen, where we've taken the ratio of the intracochlear, the extracochlear response magnitude per case, and you can see that in almost every case the we have a positive ratio, meaning that the intracochlear response is greater. And for only a few cases did we have a larger round window response. And the last case there, the largest response actually had a large amount of perilymph suctioned out of the round window just before recording. The second phase of our study also involved using the flexible electrode implantation. So this was a 20 millimeter electrode, which is inserted into eight patients. The top graph shows the five patients for whom, a larger magnitude of response was noted as the electrode was inserted further into the scala tympani. For three patients in the middle graph there, we did not see a rise in the signal amplitude like we expected. And if the bottom graph there on the right shows the normalized response of all the patients at each insertion depth, which again shows a trend towards a greater signal response as the electrode is inserted further, but this was in eight patients and does not achieve the level of statistical significance. An interesting finding that we had in our study was comparing the recording locations at the first recording location, that is, on the insertion of the electrode, we would take a recording at the first location, insert and take more measurements, and then withdraw the electrode and then again measure at that first recording location. And so this graph of what you're seeing is the insertion depth in millimeters on the x-axis and then the response magnitude on the y-axis. And for most of these patients, so the vertical line is basically your change in response magnitude between the two positions. And for most of these patients, we saw small changes in response, which we didn't consider significant. But then for one patient, we did see about a 78% drop in response magnitude when the electrode was withdrawn. And the conclusion that we took from that was either this was an unfavorable mechanical relationship to the electrode to the cochlea, or we could not also not rule out cochlear trauma. So in conclusion, we found that intracochlear recording sites yielded greater response magnitudes, and this can likely be explained by proximity to potential cochlear generators. And there is a trend towards a greater signal amplitude as the electrode is advanced further into the scala tympani. And decreases in response magnitude at the first recording location may indicate an unfavorable mechanical recording situation or could be an indicator of trauma. In future research, we are looking or are undertaking projects now where we're attempting to do a real-time recording from the actual cochlear implant electrode and not our temporary flexible electrode. Based on this research and the outcome of it, we could perform real-time recording, which could be used by the surgeon to optimize placement geography. Obviously, knowing what that placement optimization means with hearing preservation or improved response to cochlear implants would be another direction of research. Thank you very much.
Don't run away, I have money for you. Anyway, congratulations on the outstanding paper. Another one of the two awards that we give for the Resident Research Travel Award. Congratulations.